Those who dwell in the shelter of the Most High, who abide in the shadow of the Almighty, will say to the Lord,
My refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust.
Because you have made the Lord your refuge, the Most High your habitation.
No evil shall befall you, no scourge come near your tent.
For God will give his angels charge over you to guard you in all your ways.
They will bear you up on their hands, lest you will dash your foot against a stone. You will tread on the lion and the adder. You will tread on the lion and the serpent. You will trample underfoot.
Because they cleave to me in love, I will deliver them.
I will protect them because they know my name.
When they call to me, I will answer them. I will be with them in trouble. I will rescue them and honor them.
I will satisfy them with my long life and show them my salvation.
Please be seated. Deuteronomy chapter 26, verses 1 through 11. When you have come into the land that your Lord, the God, is giving to you as an inheritance to possess, and you possess it and settle in it, you shall take some of the first of all fruit of the ground which you harvest from the land that the Lord your God is giving to you. And you shall put it in a basket and go to the place that the Lord your God has chosen as your dwelling for his name. You shall go to the priest who is set in office at the time and say to him, Today I declare to the Lord your God that I have come into the land that your Lord swore to our ancestors to give us. When the priest takes the basket from your hands and sets it down before the altar of the Lord your God, you shall make this response before the Lord your God: A wandering Aramean was as my ancestor. He went down into Egypt and lived there as an alien, few in number, and there he became a great nation, mighty and populous. When the Egyptians treated us harshly and afflicted us by imposing hard labor on us, we cried to the Lord, the God of our ancestors, and the Lord heard our voice and saw our affliction, our toil, and our oppression. The Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand and outstretched arm, with a terrifying display of power, with the sights and wonders. And he brought us into this place and gave this land, a land flowing with milk and honey. So now I bring the first of the fruit of the ground to you. O Lord, have given me. You shall set it down before the Lord your God and bow down to the Lord your God. Then you, together with the Levites and the aliens who reside among you, shall celebrate with the bounty that the Lord your God has given to you and to your house.
Morning, Brighton. Hey, Ella. Hi, Jack. We had fun ringing the bells earlier, didn't we? So, we're starting a children's bell choir. It's a new experiment to try to find ways to incorporate our children into our worship service besides just the children's moment, and for us to help nurture your gifts for music, both for singing and for musical instruments. So, plus they're really cool and colorful, and you guys sounded good. So, yeah, they're fun. So today is the first Sunday in Lent. Have you ever heard that word before, Lent? We're in this season called Lent, and Lent is a time to prepare. It's a time to get ready. It's a time to get ready for Good Friday and for Easter. It's a time to get ready. And for some of us, it's a time for us to get ready for our baptism, when we're going to publicly say, hey, I'm a Christian, and I'm going to follow Jesus And he's going to be the Lord of my life, and I believe he's my Lord and Savior, and that he died on the cross for my sins, and God raised him from the dead so I'd be saved, and so that I can love other people and tell them about Jesus. So we're going to watch a video from Chuck Knows Church. Remember Chuck? He's the crazy, funny guy. Yeah, he was sniffing the tree. We're going to watch Chuck Knows Church. He's going to teach us about Lent.
You ever hear of Lent? No, not lint. Lent. Lint you find in your belly button. What, we don't say? Belly button. Sorry. Never mind. We are talking about Lent. Not lint. On this episode, not episode, of Chuck Knows Church. Lent is observed in the liturgical year for approximately 6 weeks, considered a time of preparation leading up to Easter. Is this awkward for anyone else? I think we're good. Thank you. In most Western Protestant churches, Sundays are not counted as part of Lent. So the time from Ash Wednesday until Easter is 40 days, when Sundays are excluded. This is to recognize the 40 days that Jesus spent fasting in the desert, where he endured temptations before beginning his public ministry. Now, as we said, Lent is a time to prepare for Easter. In fact, the church focuses on increasing spiritual disciplines such as prayer and repentance or self-denial, like giving up sweets or fatty foods or the mispronunciation of words like Lent. All this provides an example to those preparing to live out the covenant of baptism. Now that's why Lent can also be a time to take on something, a chance to improve yourself, grow spiritually, work on relational or bodily fitness, learn to juggle. Whatever it is you choose to do or not do, it's about enhancing the discipline of the whole body for conversion from sin and death to love and life in Jesus Christ. Now, my favorite part is right before Lent on Shrove Tuesday, aka Fat Tuesday, the day before Ash Wednesday, and right after No Interesting Nickname Monday. Fat Tuesday is where we eat up all the good food in the house to prepare for the fasting season of the 40 days of Lent, which always translates to a pancake breakfast at our church. There we go. Can I get a fork? Anyone? A fork?
We already did the Shrove Tuesday episode.
Okay, did you ever hear of seconds?
Sorry we didn't have a pancake breakfast or a pancake supper. Maybe we can try that next year.
That was funny.
Yeah. But we did have Ash Wednesday, though. And Ash Wednesday is where we mark the beginning of Lent. And we did this strange thing on Ash Wednesday, but many Christians around the world do it. You come forward kind of like you're coming forward for communion. We also had communion. And I took these ashes made from... they're made from palm leaves. Actually, at Palm Sunday, when we waved the palms... to remember Jesus coming into Jerusalem on the donkey? Traditionally, the church takes those and they burn them up and turn them into ash. And then they use those ashes on Ash Wednesday. And I take the ash, I dip them in some oil and some ash on my thumb. And I'd come up to people and I'd put a cross on their forehead. And I said, remember that from the dust you came and to the dust you shall return. Which means that God created us from the dust, but at the same time, without God, our lives are just, we just go back to the dust. Someday we'll die and we'll be in the ground or perhaps cremated or something like that. And so, but then I said, repent and believe the gospel. And what that means is to turn around and face God. And so, in that time, we're in Lent now. Here's the three things that we're going to do as a church. Let's see if you guys can remember this. We're going to give to the poor. Do you guys think you can give to the poor? What are some ways we can give to the poor and help people? What have we done in the past? If someone's hungry, we feed them, right? If someone... We just gave those baby bottles for life, for pregnancy resources, to help new moms so they can help take care of their babies. And being a mom's a big deal, isn't it? To be a parent, it's really important. And then... we're also supporting Africa University. It's a college in Africa that the Methodist Church sponsors, that we here in our state sponsor as well. So that's one of the ways we can. We can give to the food pantry. You can be kind to people at school. So we're giving to the poor. The second thing we're going to focus on is prayer. Do you guys like to pray? We talk with God. Well, when we pray during Lent, one of the things that at least I'm trying to work on, I'm working on trying to not just talk to God, but to listen to God. You guys are good listeners. And the third thing, so we have give to the poor, pray, and the last thing is called fasting. And that's where, at least adults, we give up something. And that was what he was talking about, giving up sweets or giving up food. And the reason we give up something is so we can focus on God and prayer and reading the Bible or remembering how God loves us, and so we can help other people. So we're not just focused on ourselves and just doing whatever we want all the time. But we can do what's best to help people. Do you think that's something you'd be willing to try this Lent? We can give to the poor, we can pray, and we can fast. And here's the other thing I learned from Jesus in the Bible this week. That when we do it, we don't do it to gain attention and be like, hey, look at me, I'm praying, I'm fasting, I'm giving to the poor. But we do it in secret because God sees us and he'll reward us in secret. Well, it sounds weird, but God always sees us, and we do it because God loves us and God wants to reward us in heaven instead of drawing attention to ourselves, because then when we give to the poor or we fast or we pray and it's about us, it becomes about us and it's not about the people we're trying to help or about God. Would you guys like to pray? Okay. Dear God, thank you for the snow. God, please teach us how to give to the poor, to pray and listen, and to give up something so that we can give more time to you. And help us to do these things on our own when no one is watching. Amen.
Sorry about that.
It's okay.
The word is near you, on your lips and in your heart. That is the word of faith that we proclaim. Because if you confess with your lips that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For one believes with his heart and so is justified, and no one confesses with the mouth and so is saved. The scripture says, no one who believes in him will be put to shame. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek. The same Lord is Lord of all and is generous to all and who call him. Falls on him, the name of the Lord shall be saved.
Hear the word of our Lord from Luke chapter 4, verses 1 to 13. And I'm reading from the Common English Bible, which is in your Pew Bibles. And if you want to follow along in the Pew Bibles, it's on page 783, beginning at verse 1. Jesus returned from the Jordan River full of the Holy Spirit and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. There he was tempted for 40 days by the devil. He ate nothing during those days, and afterward Jesus was starving. The devil said to him, "Since you are God's son, command this stone to become a loaf of bread." And Jesus replied, "It is written, people won't live only by bread." And next the devil led him to a high place and showed him in a single instant all the kingdoms of the world. And the devil said, "I will give you this whole domain and the glory of all these kingdoms. It's been entrusted to me, and I can give it to anyone I want. Therefore, if you will worship me, it will all be yours." Jesus answered, "It's written, you will worship the Lord your God and serve only him." And the devil brought him into Jerusalem and stood him at the highest point of the temple. And he said to him, "Since you are God's son, throw yourself down from here. For it's written, he will command his angels concerning you to protect you. And they will take you up in their hands so that you won't hit your foot on a stone." And Jesus answered, "It's been said, don't test the Lord your God." After finishing every temptation, the devil departed from him until the next opportunity. This is the word of God for we the people of God. Let us say thanks be to God. You may be seated. How many of you experienced temptation this week? We're now in Lent. Some people might give up chocolate or sweets or social media. There might be the temptation to go back to something that's familiar to us or something that gives us comfort. But the one thing that I've been learning about temptation is that temptation causes us to put ourselves first. It causes us to kind of do some navel gazing, to look in on ourselves. Sometimes we're tempted to indulge, whether it's a sweet tooth or an addiction, or it's just doing what we want and not giving a hoot about what other people might want from us or might need from us. Sometimes temptation comes to be afraid, to be anxious. That's a real temptation for us as Christians. And for anyone. There's so much going on. And you might hear some of the truth. But often there's things get distorted. And we get wound up. And we get fearful. And the temptation when we're afraid is to try to protect ourselves. And we forget the people around us who love us and care about us. We're tempted to try to do things on our own, in our own power. And not rely on God for his provision in our lives. To be thankful for the things that we have. The people in our lives. To be grateful for the breath in our lungs when we wake up in the morning. Sometimes there's a temptation to think that we have all the power in our life. And that we're the master of our own destiny. But we forget that we couldn't will ourselves to be born. And that we can't will the air into our lungs. See, we are animated by the very breath of God. That we live because of God. At least that's what we Christians believe. But temptation can sometimes come to us in the form of pride. Whether it's spiritual or religious, or pride in our accomplishments. Sometimes we begin to think that, well, we did this great thing. As if we didn't have help from anyone else. Or even in our faith sometimes. I felt that temptation this week. And I felt utterly powerless today because everything seems to have gone wrong with feedback and the sounds. And I just kind of feel a little off today. I think I had this temptation that everything was going to be fine. I did all the planning. I've got this, right? Nope. Nope. I need God. I need God to be a human being, to be a father and a husband. I need God to be a pastor. I need God so that I don't do harm to other people. I need God to help me remember important things like people's names. I tried to remember your guys' names. I had them memorized after we left the other night. And this morning, I couldn't remember hardly any of your names. And I felt like that's such an insult to all the hard work you guys have put in and the time we've spent meeting and talking and planning for this day. So I just want to say that I'm sorry. I'll leave it up to you guys, but I'm really sorry. I feel like a heel. But temptation. We're all tempted. And Jesus didn't run away from temptation. He faced it head on. And the funny thing is, when Jesus was tempted, was not when he was at his weakest while he was physically weak, but he was spiritually as strong as he had ever been. Because it says in the text, he returned from the Jordan River full of the Holy Spirit. He came from this mountaintop type of experience. He was baptized. And while he was praying in the Jordan River, heaven was opened and the Spirit came down in the form of a dove. And he heard God's voice saying, as his Father in heaven, you are my Son with whom I am well pleased.
He was affirmed and loved and then sent out. And the Holy Spirit leads him out into the wilderness, into the unknown, into where he was in over his head. He was isolated from his community. He was away from the creature comforts. And he was tempted for 40 days by the devil. He ate nothing in those days. And afterward, Jesus, the Son of God, was starving. He was starving. He was in utter need. He was at the end of himself. And 40 is a significant number, because earlier in the Bible, as we've been learning in our Bible study, and as you've been reading through some of the Old Testament this year, that there was 40 days and 40 nights when God rained, and it flooded the earth, and Noah was in the ark. And the Israelites, after they were came out of Egypt in the Exodus, and God delivered them from slavery, they wandered for 40 years. And it was a lot of trial and error and failure and backsliding, but God still provided for them. And now here we have Jesus, who's kind of like the new Israel, kind of like a second Moses. And he himself, representing all of Israel, is tempted and wandering in the wilderness. But Jesus gives an example for when we face temptation, because there's a real temptation to try to rationalize or justify or to reason with, whether it's the devil or it's just ourselves in our fallenness and our brokenness, of where we only see, we kind of have tunnel vision and we're not thinking about the needs of others. We tend to make decisions based on our own interests. But we try to reason and we kind of put our foot in our mouth, or we step in it, so to speak. But Jesus doesn't reason with the devil. He merely responds, because he is depending on the word of God. He says, "It is written." And then he says the truth. He says, "It is written, people won't live only by bread." He hasn't eaten, but he's living by the word of God that becomes his spiritual bread. He's living by truth. And I think that's something that the scouts are learning. That I don't have the scout oath up, but what's in that oath? It's, "On my honor, I will do my best to God and my country, to obey the scout." To obey. Okay, keep going. To what? To help other people at all times. Okay. To keep myself physically strong. Okay. Mentally awake. Morally straight. Okay. Is there anything after that? Okay. I thought there was truth in there. I'm sorry. But that still applies. To be awake. To not be asleep. Jesus was awake to the word of God. All he had to go on was God's word. God didn't tell him what to do. He just said he loved him. And then the Spirit leads him out into the wilderness. He hadn't done anything yet in his ministry. All he did was get wet and prayed. And God said he loved him. And then he sent out and tested and tried so that he could identify with all of our sufferings, so that he could face up to the temptations to try to do things in his own power. Satan tries to tempt him to take his power as if something is wielded, instead of the power that comes from truth and the Holy Spirit, according to the word of God. He's tempted to use holy power to protect himself from suffering. But Jesus knows deep down that he's called to suffer for the sake of others, because it's the truth that God loves them. And he finally says, "Don't test the Lord your God." Don't try to find the line. Just obey. Earlier, when we heard about the transfiguration last week, they see Jesus. He's gleaming with glory, and his clothes are dazzling white like lightning. And at first, Peter, James, and John, they see Moses and Elijah. But then they don't, because the cloud overshadows them. And they're overcome with awe. And they hear a voice similar to the voice we heard at his baptism. "This is my son, my chosen one, or my beloved. Listen to him." So we as Christians, we have the word of God, but we also have the life of Jesus Christ and his example for us and how he faced suffering and temptation. And so when we're faced with temptation, we need to listen to God and to listen to Christ. You know, years ago there was that bracelet that says, "What would Jesus do?" And I wonder sometimes when I'm faced with temptation, what would Jesus not do? What that I would want to do, but Jesus would not do. Jesus doesn't argue with Satan. He just says, as it's written. God speaks through him. And it says, after finishing every temptation. So we've heard these three, but we don't know all the temptations. It could have been temptation the entire time. It says the devil departed from him until the next opportunity. So Jesus will be tempted again and again in his ministry. But this is the time where we see that. The founder of Methodism, John Wesley, warned the early Methodists that you will be tempted. And that because you're being tempted doesn't mean that God doesn't love you. It just means that we live in a fallen world where things go wrong, where people are mean and hurtful, where we cause harm, whether we intend to or not. Whether it's due to ignorance, or it's due to apathy, or it's due to indifference. Our hearts grow cold. We need God in his word to breathe life into us. We need God in his word to show us the truth. We need God in his word to help remind us of his promises and his faithfulness. How he has promised to save us and will save us. How when we're faced with difficult circumstances, we don't need to stand alone, but we can rely on one another and on God. That we can be witnesses to the truth. And I love what Paul says in Romans that we read earlier today. It says, what does it say? This is Romans 10, verse 8. The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the message of faith we preach. Because if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord, and in your heart you have faith that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. That's good news. If you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, and in your heart have faith that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Because it's word and actions, and the action begins with faith. The faith is what moves us into action. And trusting with the heart, it says, leads to righteousness. That is right relationship with God and right conduct. And confessing with the mouth leads to salvation. And the scripture says, all who have faith in him won't be put to shame. There is no distinction between Jew and Greek, because the same Lord is Lord of all, who gives richly to all who call on him. All who call on the Lord's name, that is in Jesus Christ, will be saved. That's good news for us today. Everyone here, everyone outside this church, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord and seeks to change their heart and their life, wants to receive forgiveness, and believes that Jesus is Lord, that he died on the cross for our sins, and that God raised him up so that we might not die eternally, but we would live. And not just live in heaven, but live now, live abundantly, live a life where we know we're loved. We know that we have worth and dignity. We know that other people are created in the image of God and that God loves them and that God chooses to love them even through people like us, especially through people who are in need and poor in spirit like we are. For all who call on the Lord's name will be saved. And in this time of Lent, we are preparing people in our church who are getting ready to be baptized. I just had another person who asked me, who's a relative, and they want their daughter to be baptized. First time I met them, but they're a member of the church, and I'm really excited about that. We have several confirmands that are getting ready to be baptized. And so in this time, I want to remind us of some of our baptismal vows that we take. And here are the first three verbs in our vows. And I want to challenge you. Renounce Satan. Renounce the evil one and the spiritual forces of wickedness. Those spiritual forces of wickedness that cause us to see other people as less than human or as objects to be used or manipulated. To renounce where we begin to see the us and them all the time. And we're always judging people and trying to make enemies. We renounce Satan, the adversary, and the spiritual forces of wickedness. We reject the evil powers of this world. The things that go wrong, that cause harm and hurt people. Where you can't find someone to blame because it's kind of in the water. Things like racism or sexism, or where we tend to think that it's all about me. That's an evil power in this world. Self-gratification. Whoever has the most stuff wins. It runs our lives. The things that make us feel like you're only what your paycheck is. And as we renounce Satan and the spiritual forces of wickedness, and we reject the evil powers of this world, we are called to repent, to change our hearts and lives, to do an about face. Do you guys ever march? About face? You know, you're like, about face. Turn around and face God, right where you are. You don't have to go back to the beginning and start over. All you have to do is to turn and face God and say, God, I need you. God, I can't do this on my own. God, I want to stop hurting people. God, I want to see you how you see me. I don't want to see myself for my mistakes. I want to see myself because I'm me and you love me. To repent of our sin, where we see ourselves as less than, or we make other people feel like they're less than, or we don't trust God. So let's say that together. Do you renounce Satan and the spiritual forces of wickedness? Do you reject the evil powers of this world? And do you repent of your sin? If so, say, I do. And as we hold fast to God's word and God's promises in times of temptation that will always come, especially when we least expect it, let us stand and we're going to profess our faith. This is our creed in the church. It's called the Apostles' Creed. It's kind of like your scout's oath. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended to the dead. The third day he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. O God, your will is that all your children should grow into fullness of life. We lift to you the ministry of scouting. We offer you thanks for camping, to teach us that the world is our great home, for study and work to build character, for service to see our responsibility to those in need, for encouragement in genuine patriotism and vital faith. God bless the work of scouting in this place and around the world, that through its efforts, these young men may, like our Lord, increase in wisdom and in stature, and in favor with you and all people. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. To God's word. And stay close to Jesus, as you will face temptations, if not today, tomorrow, or the next day. But may you walk in the light of the truth that God loves you and that you don't have to fight your own battles, and that Jesus has won the war on the cross and through his glorious resurrection. And in his victory, he is our way out from temptation. So may you walk in the light of the truth and bring honor and glory to God in all that you do and all the ways you love and serve others. In Christ's name I pray. Amen.